I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Everybody, today on Hot Topics Cool Friends, we have the fabulous Chris Shutters. How you doing, Chris?
Doing well. How are you?
Really good. Really good. Glad you're here.
Thank you for coming.
Happy to be here.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for people who, I don't know who that would be, but if there's anybody that doesn't know the name Chris Shutters, tell us who you are.
I perform music for a living. I produce music as well. I record and... sometimes you can catch me playing around somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And you're married.
I am married with two children.
Two
beautiful children. My 4-year-old boy, Bowen, and 10-month-old girl, Leah London.
Such cool
names. I know. I was just going to say, mm-hmm. I love those names. And the Bowen is a musician as well, and so is your wife. Tell us a little bit about that whole.
Well, okay. So, Madison's an incredible musician. She's a songwriter, singer, guitarist. As musical parents, we didn't want to push that on the kids. And Bowen really came upon it on his own. So, at night, before he goes to bed, I'd read him books. And there's this one book of that has Jimi Hendrix on there, all these other people playing the guitar. So, like, Jimmy played the guitar and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Whenever we'd get to Ringo on the drums, he would point at it. Before he could even talk, he'd point and go, he'd say, do. That was his thing, do. That was his answer for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you like the drums or drums, buddy? And I'm like, do you want to see some real drums? He goes, do. So I took him downstairs to the basement and sat him on the real drums, put sticks in his hand, and right away he knew, like, what to do. He knew to hit him, which is weird because mm-hmm. he's never seen anybody play drums.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How did he know that this is what you do, you know?
Right.
It's just amazing. So
yeah, that is, because you're right. I think my grandson probably, I don't know, throw it at somebody.
Yeah, you never know,
like,
right?
Like, okay, and that's fine, too.
Yeah.
Right?
He'll end up being a football player, a quarterback or something.
Yeah, shot put. I don't know.
There you go.
At what age did, you realize that music was sneaking into your life and it wasn't going anywhere? When did you start playing?
Well, when I was 2 years old, we had a little baby piano, a little Casio thing. And... like, my favorite shows on TV would come up, and I would actually, find the melodies of the theme songs of those. You know, Jurassic Park. I was a little older then. I was probably, 6 or 7. But when I was 2, I was doing it. And it wasn't, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, Mozart or anything, you know. But I was sounding out the tones. And it was actually, okay, that's pretty good, you know. So I started taking piano lessons from Vicky, who was married to my grandpa. So she never let me call her grandma because she's the same age as my mom. But so, yeah, my grandma, no, I'm just kidding. No, she gave me lessons from when I was 8 years old till I was 12. And,
wow.
You know, I was learning minuets and waltzes and things like that to, learning how to read music. But I wanted to play blues and rock and stuff. So I met a friend who had a guitar. I played his guitar and decided this is what I want to do. You know,
how old was that?
That was 12.
Uh-huh.
I was 12. Yeah.
Hmm.
Well,
when did?
Yeah, that was 12.
Well, he plays the flute.
And everything.
Okay, just give a list of everything you play.
Oh boy.
I know.
Everything.
It's really. I mean, it's just the stuff that I can play well is guitar, piano-ish, and flute-ish,
okay. Mm-hmm.
But mainly guitar. But I can play the bass. I can play a little bit of drums. I can do it in the studio because I can play to a click.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I just would add fills later or something.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I'd just hire a drummer at that point. But
mm-hmm.
but yeah, no, I've played other things, but I'm not fluent on anything.
When did you realize you had a voice?
You
know, that you can actually sing, or when did somebody else hear you sing?
Say, oh, he sounds
and
good.
Like, oh, wait,
mm-hmm.
he's talented.
I know my mom said that, because I wanted to be an actor when mm-hmm. I was a kid. And she's like, well, a lot of actors are musicians. They can sing, they can, dance, and they can play an instrument. So I picked up the piano, and she's like, well, you should try learning how to sing, Just, try it. And I've never really liked my voice, And when I was a kid especially. But when I got into high school, I would say I started to develop a tone, you know, how to do things.
A little bit of a tone. Yeah. Just like, what the heck?
I mean, you can sing a tiny bit.
A little. I mean, it's okay.
It's the hardest thing for me to like when I'm recording. Yeah,
I think everybody hates their own voice.
Yeah, like, that and guitar
I think we
solos.
Sound good in here with these headphones on.
Yeah.
I think, but, well, because people say, well, if you don't like the sound of your voice, why do you do it? But I think it's just it's our passion. Mm-hmm. Like, we just do it because we enjoy it so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's like saying, because you can't paint as well as, you know, Monet, you shouldn't paint at all, you know?
That's a good point. Right? You know? Yeah, right. That's a good point. Who were some of your early influences? Like,
I mean, he was more of an impressionist, not a painter, sorry.
Yeah, who were your mentor, not living or dead or even famous or...
Let's
local.
Do famous first and
famous
then local.
Famous first, okay, yeah.
Famous. So who inspired you as a famous musician?
Musician? I would say the very beginning was Elvis. Love Elvis. Mm-hmm. And then once I started to get more into the guitar stuff, it was, you know, Cream, Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, you know, right out of the gate with that. Mm-hmm. And then it was my brother Dallas was in the military. And he came home he had surprised us or whatever. And he had this Stevie Ray Vaughan CD. And he woke me up. He put a snare drum next to my head and woke me up like that.
Like brothers wake other brothers up.
Right, right. And then he gave me that CD. He goes, all right, go back to sleep. People say he's the best. And I had never heard of him at that time.
Yeah.
So then first thing I did, right above my bed was a CD stereo player or whatever. And I popped it in there and... That was, he became my biggest one for a long time. Huh. Yeah, Stevie Ray Vaughan is just, he's 100% feel, I think. So,
well, your family was really important in your whole life here. Yeah. You know, I mean, usually it's the way it is, but it's interesting that your brother, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Listen to this.
Listen to this, be like him, no excuses.
I mean, everybody, you're right. Everybody had a part in it, really. And I just kind of just kept going with it. You know, my dad wanted me to keep going to school. I did well in school, and I was going for electrical engineering, and I didn't finish because I got offered to do a European tour.
Mm-hmm. And I was with
like,
who?
With Kofi Baker. Mm-hmm. That was a while back, and I was like, all right, well, I think I'm going to do that instead. So
yeah, school will
always be there. Do you ever
regret
that?
I think about that. I'm like, yeah, in a lot of ways I do, but then the things I've experienced would cost a fortune. I got to make money doing it, you know,
right.
Which is very fortunate. But it was also a lot of work. I didn't really get to, like, if you're going to Europe, you want to go hike, you want to do all this stuff. It's a pretty strict regimen, you know.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning and you eat breakfast and you drive for 4 or 5 hours, go to the venue, set up, sound check, eat dinner. Get dressed, play the show, get back in the truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that every day.
You didn't see Europe like you. Well, you will. And you know what? School.
I did
always,
do some things.
You did some.
Yeah,
things.
I did some.
And college will always be there. Like
that's
you,
what
you
I told
can always
kids.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
I thought about
it's
said, follow your dreams because that brick building will always
that's
be there.
Right.
You can go whenever you want.
Right.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, now I mean, now you can just do it all online if you want it.
Yeah. You don't even have to go to the brick building.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time that you were...
Well, wait, we...
Oh, you got what?
Well, I want to know locally.
Oh, sorry, yeah. See,
yeah.
Squirrel.
Oh. Mm-hmm. The part two of that question.
Oh, okay.
Local so influence. We got Stevie Ray Vaughan now,
musically,
local musician. Mm-hmm.
I would say my Uncle Tony Shutters. He's a musician in town. He's a great guitar player, a great harmonica player. I grew up watching him play. Mm. And I also grew up watching my Uncle Denny Harrigan. He played in a lot of blues bands, too. And both guitarists, they were... huge influences on me for sure.
Nice.
So, but also outside of my family, I got to give him credit because I love the guy, Bobby May. I got to say, he was a huge influence. Mark Michael is always a big influence. Scott Fish is a big influence on me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of them. I could go on and on. So I'm very fortunate to have met those guys.
Yeah, we have a
That's
lot
nice,
of awesome talent around here.
Oh, yeah.
So when was the first time that you were maybe on stage or at a venue and you're like, yep, I'm hooked. Do you remember that one day?
Oh, let's see. What would it be? Okay, I think I can. I opened up for Ted Nugent in 2008.
Yeah, that would do it. He, by the way, Ted is why I can't hear. But we'll address that. Can you hear?
No.
You can't go to his concert and stand up front and not lose your hearing. But anyway.
No, I do have good ears. Actually. That's good. I have good hearing. But I got a little 6,000 K coming down out of my left a little bit, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. That's his side job. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So what was the question?
Like, what was that your first year when you're like, I'm hooked?
Yeah, because there was like 7,500 people there or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a big crowd. And I just remember like going up on the stage and I'm looking out there and it's a rib-off. So there's like smoke and it just looked really cool. It looked like I was like at Woodstock. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was a pretty neat feeling. So that was a lot of fun.
That was really
fun.
Like,
I got to play with a big amp and I was cranking it up. It was a lot of fun.
Was that the rib-off in Toledo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the rib-off. Lucas County Fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fairgrounds.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
I know, right? And then also, I guess, I mean, the stuff that I used to do down by the river, you know, the City Fest and
the
all that stuff.
That was Party in the Park.
Party in the Park.
They're back now.
They had Teen Fest back when I was in high school. And I was 16, and we did Teen Fest with my old band, Blindsided, was the name of the band.
I do remember this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a young boy.
I don't. No? I didn't live here then. I won't say I'm not from here.
She's not allowed to say that. She's lived here for like 40 years. What high school did you go to?
Northview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. But you hung out in Maumee a lot. I know that's right. I mean, whatever.
I did not know you went to Northview. What year did you graduate?
Oh, now you're dating me.
Okay. It's okay.
Oh, boy. Here we go. No, 2004.
Was there all the good times. Was there a specific setback moment that you remember that you're like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to do this? Or was there something that you'd like to tell us about that was like, I need to rethink what I'm doing? Or maybe advice you have to upcoming musicians. That's two questions.
Two questions. Okay, the first one, I would say at the beginning, like I guess when I got out of high school, I graduated early. So I graduated January 15th of 04. Mm-hmm. And then like I kind of lost touch with a lot of friends. And there was a lot of high school drama going on. So the band broke up. And I was like, man, I just don't want to deal with that anymore. So I didn't play for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then my dad was like, hey, I got a guy that works with me, or his son or something plays drums, and ended up going to his house, and I did like a little private jam. For some reason, that just like reignited it. I was like, oh, I need to be doing this more, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was the only time I ever played with those guys, but I don't think they realized how like pivotal that was.
It was like your therapy thing.
If I didn't do that, maybe I wouldn't have done it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a pretty weird moment, mm-hmm. but it was cool. It was a sign from something.
Yeah, you're right.
I
those little
that.
Moments you gotta pay attention to. Yep. Yeah. So what was my other question?
Advice.
Advice for other musicians. Yes.
Advice. Well, I just would say to keep writing, keep creating. Don't. The biggest thing is try not to focus on making it huge and famous. Like if you release a song and nobody listens to it, that's not the point. The point is to get it out of you, you know, and it may make sense later. I have people now that are listening to my first album for the first time, and that was a long time ago, you know. Mm-hmm. So you just never know when it's the right time for people, you know.
It's kind of timeless. Yeah. Let's talk about Blood, Sweat, and Tears. How'd that whole thing happen, come about?
Yeah, so I played with, first time I met, I played with Kofi Baker, Ginger Baker's son from Cream, and we did all the Cream songs. But the first time, I was actually downtown, and I was hanging out with my friends. It was about midnight, and I got a phone call from Jeff Coleman. And he said, hey, man, would you like to play with Ginger Baker's son? They got to finish a tour. Their guitar player fell down, broke his wrist and his jaw, so he couldn't sing or play, you know? So they're like, and he's like, I know you know most of the songs. I could probably get through the shows, you know? And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, they need you tomorrow, so you'd have to be on a flight tomorrow morning at 9:30. I'm like, well, this is a big thing to discuss, right. You know? So it was, he needed an answer, so I actually got off the phone. I called Mark Michael, actually, and I called him, and I go, hey, man, what would you do? He's like, do it. Like, mm-hmm. Why would you not do that? I go, okay. So I called Jeff back. I'm like, I'm going to do it, you know? He's like, cool. So then because of that, I met the bass player, Rick Fibracci. And that was the only time we played together for about 11 years. And we stayed in touch a little bit online, but he called me one day and he goes, hey, how would you like to sing for this little band I play with called Blood, Sweat, and Tears? And that's exactly how he put it. I go, little band. I go, what do you mean? Like the Blood, Sweat, and Tears? He goes, I'm like, that's not a little band. What are you talking about? You know?
Right.
So
my dad even knew about that.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah, of course. And I guess back to the advice thing is also another thing is don't be afraid to say yes to things that feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because when I joined this thing, all I knew was like one song.
You know? I was just going to ask you like, So here you go. Now learn all the songs in a day. Like, how does that?
I had 30 days.
30 days.
30 days to learn 17 songs.
Oh, I can
songs.
See you. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
That's a lot.
It was a lot. It was very scary. It's scarier when knowing that you
He's
have a deadline.
Chris Shutters, he can
it's
do it.
Fine. Oh. He was picking up jingles on the TV when he was three. Like, this is fine.
Oh. It was scary.
Yeah,
it was
I'm
scary
sure.
to try
I'm
to
sure.
memorize all. So I was like, okay. So I did that, and then, you know. That,
oh, what, you mean when you play with them, you can't have your iPad on stage?
I actually did that. I had a floor one. I had
floor,
one with
yeah.
a pedal. So that helped me get through a lot of it. I could have faked my way through the whole thing, but I knew there's a lot of the fans that come out to see Blood, Sweat, and Tears. They obviously want it. They know all the songs.
They know the words, yeah.
You know, it's pretty niche kind of music, you know. Mm-hmm. But, no, that was great. That was a good experience, and it was the first time I played without a guitar in my hands or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just me up there like you know, Tom
it's
Jones.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah,
like Tom
it's freaky.
Jones. It's true.
It's freaky.
I remember when I played the guitar, my fingers would sweat. I'm like, you know, I think I'm just going
to
sing.
Another thing to worry about,
I suppose. It was just not, mm-hmm. you know, because I was just used to singing. So then all of a sudden you're playing and you're like, oh, this is very different. So it's probably like the same thing.
Well,
except you don't know what to do with your hands.
Yeah, I was like, that's what I was, I practiced, I did some online. Like, they have, like, little tutorials of things you can do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I
can't hold your mic like Steven Tyler and whip it around or not. That's not how that works. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably would have liked that. I think.
Right?
I don't have that personality.
I would trip over the mic. It would be bad.
I'd slip and hit somebody.
I hang on to mine, like, for dear life. I can't sing with a boom stand.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Do you like that?
The boom stand.
Well, when you're playing, yes, but if you're just singing.
If I'm just singing, uh-huh. So there was, they would take my mic stand and they would move it, and I would just walk around with the mic, but I'm like, okay, well, that's what all the singers really did with this band, you know, and I'm like, well, what if like for the slower ones, I grab the mic stand, bring it back, mm-hmm. and I just kind of stand there and hold it and sing it. I thought that was really an intimate thing, you know, people kind of zeroed their attention. I'm not all over the stage anymore. They can just focus on the one spot, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then they took it back, and then we do the, you know.
Well, I thought you did a great job.
Thanks.
Because I watched the videos. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
You know, without playing, you know, just to sing.
Technically, I'm still on the roster. They wanted me to do a couple shows last year, and I couldn't do them because I'm already booked with Fleetwood. But they don't book till a little later than when I book. So it's scheduling is kind of conflicting, but.
Let's talk about Fleetwood real quick, and then we'll cut to this cool song, Stationary Man. I want to listen to it. But tell us how Fleetwood Gold started. Fabulous. You know I love you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Amazing.
Ugh.
It's so much fun
to watch you guys.
Uh-huh. I saw Muddy was filling in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, she did such a good job.
Yeah, her voice is like
so proud
raspy.
Of her.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
and
she's
did she
a
get
really
raspier
Stevie
or
Nicks,
is it me? I feel like it's like deeper, stronger or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway.
I think it just comes with just doing it a lot more. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first met her, it was that way. But you're right. I think it's a lot richer and more sultry.
I was at her, how old was she? I was at her first CD release party.
Wow.
Muddy's.
She was really young, probably.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She was very young.
Wow, before I knew her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But Fleetwood Gold's all over. You guys go to Florida a lot. Where else?
We went to Iowa this year, and we played... Where else? In Nebraska. We went to Nebraska. And sometimes we go down to Tennessee.
Yeah.
But, we do like 50 to 60 shows a year, I think, something like that.
You guys are really busy. Is John still your manager?
Yeah.
I love
that
guy.
He's doing
a
great
job.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Out of all of those, like you, out of all the bands you've ever played with, including the ones from the very beginning, looking back and now, which, even solo, what's your favorite thing? Like, what's your favorite band?
Well, they all, like, I'm going to give you a political answer here. They all have given me something and taught me something that I didn't know before and made me, I think, just broader of a player and singer. You know, like, again, going back to the say yes thing, I was on the road with Music of Cream when COVID happened, and we had to stop the tour. We got 13 shows in out of 50 is all. And we ended the tour in Indian Springs, California. So near Indio, California. And then we had those 3 months where nothing happened. And then John gave me a call and asked if I wanted to start a Fleetwood Mac tribute and if I knew any musicians. And, of course, I mentioned Madison. He had some musicians in mind. I had a drummer, bass player. We were kind of just figuring out what to put together. He'd been working with Sarah because they were in a couple bands together. She does the Elvis thing, and it's actually Madison does that sometimes too. His name's Kayvon. He's a really excellent Elvis impersonator.
I've heard of him before.
He's really good. Yeah. And so it just kind of built from there. Everybody, and it was basically that Columbus area of people, and then it was me.
Okay.
And again, I said yes. I was like, okay, I can only think of like two songs of them. And then when I dove deeper into it, I'm like, oh, they did this one? Oh, they did this one too? What? That's got to be the most evolving band I've ever 100. Heard in my life.
Yeah. Like, so you weren't like my older boys that were abused with the Rumors album every day. Okay.
My mom was more Elton John, Carole King, Cat Stevens. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that stuff. But no, I mean, I was just amazed. And I realized that what that taught me, learning Lindsey Buckingham stuff, all my favorite guitar players, I was always looking at the neck hand, like what they're doing over here. And then however you get there is your style. But Lindsey Buckingham's right hand, his picking hand, that taught me so much because he's such an incredible picker. He does the bass lines as well as the rhythm and the melodies. It's really impressive stuff. And that probably the hardest song I've ever had to learn was Never Going Back Again. That's a really difficult song. And I still don't think I'm doing it exactly right, but, you know, I get away with it.
So. I'll have to pay attention next time. Yeah. I just love it.
Don't pay too much attention.
Well,
now everybody has.
Yeah, everybody's going to be like, oh, that's what he's missing.
Oh, yep. Yep, there I saw is. A mess up. Yep. I wouldn't know.
I don't care. I mess up all the time. It's fine.
Yeah. I think it's all in how you mess right. up, how you handle it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
I think if you have fun with it, you're good.
Yeah. Should we listen right. to Stationary Man? You want to tell us a little bit about it before we
sure.
get to it?
Well, we're as you know, I've also dipped my feet into the world of audiology and done all that stuff with the hearing care and all that and everything. And I found myself as a working man, and it was kind of tough because I still have my certifications and all that stuff, but I had to stop because we had a new baby girl. I'm working an hour away, so I'm gone for 10 hours. And then I see them for an hour and a half, and they go to bed. Yeah. And then I go play a gig, you know? It was too much. Mm-hmm. So family first. I focused on my family first. And I focused more on the music again, and I'm trying to rebrand some new things. But I considered myself stationary for a while, yet world was still passing me by. I can still fly. I still got my wings, but it's plan B now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt that way. So that's what the song's about.
Awesome.
Nice.
I am a
Really good.
Amazing. I love that.
Yeah. It was a good job and really nice song. It was 3 minutes. You tell us about how long you intentionally made it.
Okay. Yeah. So when I mix and I like to do comparisons to songs that I like. And in this case, I was trying to balance it to Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks. And my song's a little louder, as you know, mastering nowadays is. But it was my gauge. And it's also 3 minutes and 13 seconds long, so I made sure this was the same length as that song
nice.
As well. So.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Little trivia.
Well, question later. How do you know when your song is finished? It's one of my questions. I'm like, or do you ever really know? Or do when you write a song, are you like, that's good enough, let's just get it out? Or, you know what I mean?
That's the hardest thing, because I listened to, like we just listened to Stationary Man. Listen to that. And there's still things I could go, I could have added this in. I could have, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's always something else. But you just got to know, okay, what is it as a whole? Is it really missing anything? Look for what it's missing. And the spaces that are there, do they really need to be filled? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need that space to breathe. The song has to breathe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps the listener understand the dynamics of the song, too.
Okay.
So the answer is, I have no idea.
That's okay. Sometimes there's no answers. Like, there doesn't have to be an answer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Another question. What's the hardest part of being an independent musician that people don't see on stage or social media?
The hardest part is knowing that when you first get into it, you want to be the musician, you want to be the rock star, you want people to go to your shows. But you don't realize you also have to be professional. You got to be a businessman. You got to be a marketing person, you got to be a social media guy, you got to do everything, you know what I mean? It's not just playing the music anymore. So the people that really make it are really good in that business aspect, I think, you know. And that's kind of where I've been diving into ever since I started doing, like, you know, Fleetwood Gold and all that stuff. I mean, I've always been a individual guy until I had bands like that, you know, tribute bands. And it is a business, you know.
Yeah.
And
you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, in a way. You got to know all the aspects, mm-hmm. you know, of everything. And it's the more you learn that and the more you realize how important that is, I think the more successful you can be.
Okay. We've got some rapid fire questions, and then we can ask him as Lori called it.
I don't have any rapid fire questions. Wendy didn't share them with me.
Okay. I can text him to you.
I'm just teasing.
Let me text him to you.
No, we're good. Go.
Okay, here we go.
Unless you got something pops in your head. I don't know. Oh, yes, here we go. Let's see. Favorite venue vibe, small and intimate or big and loud?
Small and intimate.
Okay. Studio or live stage?
Studio.
That one surprised me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I guess.
I really love to create, and I really do.
Right.
I love it.
No,
and
it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And then go to the stage. Like, it's like a great practice for basketball, and then go into a game that, you know.
Yeah.
Practice was all that really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
I have basketball coaches in my life, so that's what I think that's what they think. lyrics or melody first?
Melody. Sometimes. I mean, it depends, but most of the time for me, I think it's melody.
Okay. Do you get coffee? You're a coffee drinker?
Yeah.
Coffee right in the morning? Get you going? Mm-hmm. Okay. Not energy drinks.
I didn't do it today, though.
I know, me neither. Ugh. Had water.
I'm like, should I go start? I'm not going to make it.
It changes your whole day. Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I had my coffee. I'm done.
Yeah.
That's why you're so calm over there. You're just chilling.
I just, you know.
That's why. Yes. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Most unexpected place you've gotten inspiration.
I don't know. I guess it would be imaginative. Okay. It wouldn't be an actual place. It would be just something in my mind that inspired, like maybe I was just reminiscing or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's really hard to say.
Yeah,
that
it's kind of a, I took,
I mean, the easy ones you could say, oh, you know, breakups or or this and that or, you know, life being hard. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always have to be bad.
No,
you know?
It doesn't. Yeah. You're right. Who would you like to collaborate with, alive or dead?
My daughter. It's kind of
yeah.
I always say that. I'm like, could you please, before I die?
We're going to do a song together. We will.
Yeah, those voices would be beautiful together. Be? Mm-hmm.
She's great. Yeah. She's really great. I'm glad I got to see her. Eric Clapton, I guess. You know, that would just be great. So, yeah.
You should call him.
Let's do it. You got his number on speed dial?
We're going to send him this. I'm not kidding. Why not, right?
We should.
Why
not? She tries to get a hold of the... And then I started doing it. Like, you know,
I mean,
hey,
just
Lana
people.
Del Rey.
What are you doing Friday?
The most they can do is not respond.
That's right. Yeah. That is right. All right. Let's see. One more and then we'll ask my favorite question.
It's not her favorite
question. It's not. I don't know why.
It's just our thing. And she actually, I think, came up with it. So. And so now she doesn't like it, so she makes
me ask. It's like songwriting. It's like, I don't really like that song.
Yeah.
But you came up with it. Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. No,
yeah. I get, what advice would you give to musicians just starting out who feel overwhelmed and unsure? You kind of answered it a little bit before, but.
Overwhelmed and unsure.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say focus on just playing what you want to play at home, you know, and hone the skill on the things that you enjoy playing rather than what you think you need to play to get people to like you. You know what I mean? Like,
we sure do. You know, we can relate that to our business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We tried selling things that, oh, everybody's buying and likes. Nope. If we sell and promote, you know.
That makes you unique.
Yep. And it's an organic. I totally understand that answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Lori.
Okay, Chris.
We set this question up like it's some big
I know,
question.
And then everyone's probably like, that was kind of dumb.
It's kind of, it is.
Well, why are you our cool friend?
Why am I your cool friend?
Yeah.
Well, because you two are cooler and invited me into your friendship.
There you go.
I was astray.
That's the best answer we ever
astray.
Got.
I know.
I was astray.
The answers end up being great. It's just the question makes me feel uncomfortable.
It does.
Yeah, because it's like, why are you our cool friend? Like,
well, they're cool. And they came here, so they must be a friend. And what if one of them said, well,
I like either
friend.
One of you. You're really kind of a high maintenance
I don't feel
crew.
Like we're friends, but
yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, anyway, I'm happy to be in your circle of friends.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you for all. By the way, Chris was one of the second person who played for us at HIP when we opened, and we couldn't, you know, afford much. And no, nobody could. It was COVID.
You know,
right.
And we were all struggling, you know.
I think that's the nice thing about our local musicians here. Mm-hmm. They all stick together and help each other out.
Yeah.
They know we're not going to, you know, hey, you want to play? Yeah. We pay. You know, they're like, okay, I guess I'll do it, you know.
The coolest thing is y'all letting my son play.
That was so
amazing. That was the coolest
thing. We need to do that once a month. I think they should be our house band.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not kidding.
He was so good.
I just love on the news. It was it wasn't Chris Shutters, Madison Shutters, and Bo. It was Bo and his parents. I love that.
I
that
know,
should be
right?
the name of the band.
It
Bo and his parents.
It really should.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
He's just he's just adorable.
He's
you guys are doing a fabulous job as parents.
Thank you.
So will you come back and talk to us another time?
100%.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Thank Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics, Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Pfeiffer, our executive producer,
and Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.